I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today, holiday books with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Vicki Titcomb from Titcomb's Bookshop in Sandwich. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Mindy.
Okay, I'm Vicki, this was a tough assignment for you. You brought, I think, books enough for three or four programs.
or eight or ten.
Well, I was thinking it's like a smorgasbord that we have today. And then I went, no, it needs to be more like a tapas bar. You know, just little bits. But what we'll do is put a list of things on, as usual, on online.
Yeah. So if we don't cover everything, they'll get more suggestions than we're able to talk about today.
Books are such a wonderful thing to give at the holidays. I look back at my childhood, and maybe you too remember things that someone gave you when you were a child, mm-hmm. and how important they were. And I think sometimes it's just fluky, and you can't think about it too much almost. You know, I brought along, a copy of A Road from Agra, which is a children's book about India that I got when I was about 10. Mm-hmm. It's not a famous book, but I'll never forget the aunt that gave it to me. Right. And I'll never forget reading this book and my learning about India. So anyways, we're...
Yeah, and doesn't it feel great when you give a child a book and they love it?
Oh. That's the bonus, isn't it?
Yeah,
when everything comes together and you find the perfect book for that child that you want. And I totally agree with you, Vic, that the books that I have from my Aunt Avis, who gave me a lot of books when I was small, I still have some of those. And just, it's that great thing that you do not get in an actual electronic book, which is I have her penmanship. I have her note to me. I have a real connection with that book and through that book with this aunt that I love very much. So it is books.
Yes.
Books continue to be a great gift. And also this morning we also will have quite a few things about books that can be used in order to be turned into gifts, which seems to be a new trend in the crafting world.
I want you to. I'm looking at the Harry Potter thing. I thought it was it's a journal. Whoa. It's not a book. That is for Harry Potter fans, that is a beautiful set, whatever that is.
This is an absolutely beautiful set. It's the Pensive Memory Set. It's in a wonderful box with lots of gold and a little lock on the cover. And you open it up and there's a journal that people can write in with quotes from Harry Potter. It's really suggesting to the child to use their memory, to write down their memories and things that are important in their life. Even comes with two vials to store their memory, just like in the movie.
And the wand.
And a wand pen. So you take off the cap of the wand and you can write with the wand. It's a fabulous gift. And who isn't a Harry Potter fan?
That's right. It's not just for children.
Well, and I have actually a great Harry Potter quote that I happened to bring this morning only because I was because I was thinking about cold and snow and winter and presents and remembered one of the best presents I ever got. And let this be a lesson to all of you that think presents have to be expensive and difficult. This is one of my most loved presents, which I brought with me this morning. It is a poem in the shape of a sock, because at the time, I do love socks anyway, but this was, in fact, a poem by Pablo Neruda, one of his his odes, in this case, Ode to My Socks, which is a beautiful poem in and of itself, but where Harry Potter comes in, because Harry Potter does come in, at the very, not only is there this beautiful ode to socks on this piece of paper, but there is also a great little bit from Harry Potter. Let me read it to you. Sir, Professor Dumbledore, can I ask you something? Obviously, you've just done so, Dumbledore smiled. You may ask me one more thing, however. What do you see when you look in the mirror? I see myself holding a pair of thick woolen socks. Harry stared. One can never have enough socks, said Dumbledore. Another Christmas has come and gone, and I didn't get a single pair. People will insist on giving me books. So
that's
from
wonderful,
Harry Potter
Jill.
And the Sorcerer's Stone, which was the quote that was added to the bottom of this paper sock that was actually a Christmas tree ornament that I still use on the Christmas tree.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That is so perfect. And what I also like about it is so personal, you know, and I think I often in the store will tell people when they're trying to think about what to give for a gift, I'll often suggest that they think about something that was important to them, something that they loved, and share that with the other person, because then you're giving something of yourself, just like with this.
Yeah. What's your next book, Vicki?
Well, I thought I'd start with two big, beautiful books, even though you don't always have to spend a lot on a book to get a great impact and meaning. But Annie Leibovitz, Portraits, 2005 to 2016, just came out. It is a big, beautiful, gorgeous book of photography. She is one of, the most talented portrait photographer in the world. Oh my goodness, this portrait of Lin-Manuel Miranda, who did Hamilton, is astounding. And there's one, this is Meryl Streep on the beach. She captures faces and emotions, and you could look at this book over and over and over again. And I think it would be a fabulous gift at Christmas.
You can always tell one of her photographs.
When you see it, you can.
She just, her, something about her style, it just,
You have to look into the people's eyes and you feel like you're getting to know them a little bit.
Yeah.
And I also brought the new book by Pete Souza. It's Obama, An Intimate Portrait. And he opens up opens us up to the life of a president, what it's like in the most intimate forms. And we see the weight of the office, the excitement, his family life. I think Pete and Obama had a very special relationship. He is also one of those amazing photographers who's tells so much in his pictures.
Oh, so two good books to start with. All right, Jill.
Well, I've brought yet another. It's funny. I brought this because I love this. It's A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas. And I knew I had a copy at home. And so I pulled it off the shelf. What I did not remember is that this had been a gift to me originally.
Oh.
And so I opened it up and I was like, I don't remember. And this is dated November 22nd, 1971. This is a very old gift. And it says to Jill, because it snowed last night for the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't. What a great thing to put inside. Oh. What a wonderful book. And what a wonderful friend this book has been to me for so long. And there are lots of different editions of Child's Christmas in Wales. There are lots of beautifully illustrated editions. But I really like this one the best. It is still in print. It's a New Directions book. It is a small, sort of square-shaped book with woodcuts by Ellen Raskin. The woodcuts are beautiful. And for those of you that may never have encountered this, it's worth the time to take any edition of A Child's Christmas in Wales and read it, which is as much about winter and family as it is about Christmas. But it begins one Christmas was so much like another in those years around the sea town corner, now and out of all sound except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep, that I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and six nights when I was 12. Or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was six. And it's just a beautiful piece of writing, and it's a beautiful edition of the book, A Child Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas. And this is the New Directions book edition that I'm looking at.
And a tradition for a lot of families to, you know, either go to a performance of that or read that book around the holidays.
Yes.
So. And that edition is still available, just like that.
Yes, I know. So, Isn't that amazing?
Shows you how popular it is. Yeah. Vicki.
Well, I brought along Mary Oliver's Devotions. I love, love, love Mary Oliver's poems. And she has collected some of her favorite and most meaningful poems over the years. So I also love the idea that these were the ones she chose to share. And I think as a gift, sometimes it's wonderful to mark a book and to pick out a poem that maybe means a lot to you or makes you think about the person. So I think this would make a wonderful gift for the holiday season.
Yeah. Jill?
Well, I'm moving right on to the crafts and the decorating and the eating part of the holidays. Although many of these would be great gifts, they are primarily for the pre-holiday part of the year. And
we all need help with that, Jill.
And this is quite an extraordinary book. It's called The New Christmas Tree by Carrie Brown. I had never heard of Carrie Brown until I saw this book. It turns out that she apparently runs a store, is the owner of, as it says in the description of her, the acclaimed Jimtown store in Sonoma County's Alexander Valley. She has celebrated every December for the past 23 years by decorating uncommon Christmas trees for the store, her home, and clients. And when she says uncommon, I would have to agree with that. I think it's a really fascinating book for some of the things that she does. Now, she starts, if you happen to be, just moved to your own apartment or your own house and have never decorated a tree, she's got some really basic, before you bring the home the tree, what you should do, the things that you could use instead of a cut tree, the types of trees. So she does her homework. She does some really basic stuff about trees. But then she gets into the decorating of trees. Now, I don't know, maybe this is, but it actually is sort of stunning looking, but this one is called the Popcorn Peanut Pretzel and Pickle Tree. And indeed, she has collected all these ornaments that are pickle shaped. And she has added popcorn and pretzels. And I have to say, I would never, ever have thought of decorating a Christmas tree with popcorns and peanuts and pretzels. But it actually looks sort of fascinating. So this is not just your, everyday tree. And then she goes into great detail about what trimmings that you might want to use. On this one, she also is using bottle caps, if you can find bottle caps any longer, sort of old-fashioned bottle caps. And she tells you what you need to collect and what you can make. So how you can make pretzel ornaments, how you can make popcorn and peanut garlands.
Obviously, so you're throwing these out at the end of the season.
Unless they get eaten. That used to be one of the best things about our tree when I was a kid. There was a lot to eat on that tree. There was popcorn, there were gingerbread.
Candy canes.
That's right. So a tree can be edible. And she has another one, which is called the Matchstick Red Tree. And actually, forget about, putting this on the tree. I would never have thought
flammable.
Well, whoa. I would have thought the same thing. But
Real matchsticks?
Real matchsticks. So I wouldn't put that,
Not in a home with a 5-year-old.
That's right. No. So a lot of these are perhaps decorations for adults. Although she has another one called the Topography Tree, which is all using all kinds of different shaped letters to put on your tree and actually put phrases on the tree. Anyway,
so you can put your stocking on the tree, Jill.
Fascinating. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So some really fascinating and interesting designs for trees. Nothing you might, I don't know, I'm sure there are people that would do the entire nine yards for these. There are a lot of collecting you need to do for a lot of these trees prior to the holiday, but she also has tree cookies, lots of beautiful, and the book itself, I have to say, is quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the images, the photographs are great of all the trees, and she does give you directions for lots of the things that you can, in fact, make in order to put on the tree. So
some
not everything.
Felt ornaments there.
Right. Not
still
everything.
Thinking
that you
of that fa-la-la felt we talked about a few. I still have that book. I still make some of those things in that book. That was a good one. All right. Vicky.
Well, a couple of other beautiful books. One is It's Gratitude by Susan Branch, who is one of our friends and Martha's Vineyard author. This is a book of inspirational thoughts and quotes beautifully illustrated by Susan Branch in her wonderful way. So I highly recommend it. And it's a nice way to say to someone, I'm grateful to you being in my life. And
I love her cookbooks. Love her. She has a winter cookbook. She has all kinds.
The stories of her life and travels are
That's a great
fabulous.
Series, those three books.
Yes,
yeah.
Any one of them makes a wonderful gift. And this is a book called The Message of the Birds by Kate Westerland. It's a children's book, and yet it's sold as much to adults. It's a beautiful picture book. And the birds have a message to share at the holiday season. And I don't think I'm going to tell you. Should I tell you what the message is?
I'm just thinking our tree this year, the theme is birds. So I'm thinking that might be.
What I like, too, is it has the Christmas story, the real Christmas story in it. And the birds are wondering why people aren't listening to their message anymore. But they do look to the children who do still listen. Mm. And I remember reading it, and I was so anxious to know what was that message. So I think I'll let our listeners be held in suspense as well, rather than ruin that. But it's called The Message of the Birds by Kate Westerland.
All right. Jill?
I brought some picture books as well. Oh, there are so many.
There are
so many wonderful books. But these two really struck me. And one of the reasons for this first one is called Before Morning by Joyce Sidman and Beth Kromes. The illustrations in this book are so beautiful. They are scratchboard art, and they are just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And every time you look at another picture, you find something you haven't seen before.
Yes.
So I can see, but there's very little text in this book. Mm-hmm. But one of the other things that I love about this book is that the story, such as it is, and it's a very simple story, is about Christmas coming, and the child's mother, as it happens, is a pilot and has to go off to the airport because she's supposed to be having a flight, but snows out, and she gets to come home for the holiday. But the illustrations are beautiful. The text, again, is really simple. Here's a little bit of it. Let the air turn to feathers, the earth turn to sugar, and all that is heavy turn light. And it shows the snow coming down on the city. It's quite beautiful. There's there are little bits in here that are sort of fun. Like there is a biography of Amelia Earhart, apparently, in here. There are little planes that the little girl has. So it's a really nice story and beautifully illustrated. And it ends, please, just this once, change the world before morning. Make it slow and delightful and white. And the last spread is of everybody, a little squirrel in a tree, and everybody's sledding down a hill. And it's just a beautiful book, and it's about the snow. So a beautiful time.
And the snowflakes are stunning in that, aren't they? Yeah.
They are. Everything about this is just a beautiful little book. And the other one I brought is Christmas for Greta and Gracie by Yasmin Ismail. This is really funny. It's about these two, well, I guess they're rabbits, but they're also sisters. And Greta and Gracie were sisters, it begins. Greta was bigger because she was 1 year, 6 months, and 3 days older than Gracie. They both had the same smile, the same hoppity-skip walk, and their names both began with G. But in fact, they're very different. And so one of them is very quiet, the younger one, and one is very chatty. And the whole thing is about one talking all the time and the other one not saying anything. So, for example, Mrs. Goose chatted to Gracie as she carefully counted out her coins. You must be excited about Christmas, Gracie. What do you think Santa is like? And the older sister says, oh, Santa's just wonderful. He's the best and nicest man, and he has a sleigh and reindeer, and he gives presents to good little girls and boys, and he has a hat and a red coat and a big white bushy beard, and he eats cookies. You can write him a letter, and he'll come and visit and say ho, 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 and puts things in stockings, and he wears black boots, and he has big buttons on his coat. And her little sister says, he is magic. So it's the difference between, and of course, the little sister, because she realizes it's good to be slow and to be quiet and to be little, is the one that actually gets to meet Santa at the end of the book. So a very sweet story about sisters and about Santa. It's called Christmas for Greta and Gracie.
We are talking about holiday books with Vicki Tickham from Tickham's Bookshop in Sandwich and Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about holiday books with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Vicki Tickham from Tickham's Bookshop in Sandwich. Vicki, what do you have up next?
Well, Jill's book reminded me of one that I brought, and that is The Vanderbeekers of 101st Street by Corinna Jan Glaser. And I just read this, and it is one of those delightful books that you're just so happy to give. It has kind of a classic feel. It's a story of a family who live in Harlem. It's a mixed-race family, four children. And they have found out about a week before Christmas that their landlord is not renewing their lease, and they have to be out by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that's going on with that landlord. He's a recluse, and he's not very happy. And it's one of those wonderful, perfect books where the children have decided to take control of this situation, do the best that they can in their own ways to try to solve it. And it's absolutely delightful. And another children's book I thought I'd share, because Jan Bratt always comes out with a children's book, mm-hmm. and it's always wonderful, and her illustrations are absolutely superb. Her newest one is The Mermaid. Lovely, lovely book. And this is kind of a year of mermaids and unicorns, so I know that this would be a wonderful picture book to give to a child anywhere from about 3 to 7 or 8, or an adult.
Yep. Jill?
Well, I've brought along a book, actually several books that are about books. One of them is, which would all make lovely gifts, I'm sure that the book lover in your life or you yourself might enjoy one of these. This one's called Unpacking My Library, Artists and Their Books. And have you seen these, mm-hmm. Vicki? There's a whole series of them. It started with the unpacking. It follows with writers in their books, started with writers in their books, then went on to architects in their books, yep. was the first one. And now they're doing artists in their books. And it is a beautiful little book.
And it's a great format, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's this rectangle size. It's got beautiful photographs of the actual libraries that these people are talking about. But it also talks about it, and of course, it has a great essay by Proust on reading. So, what's not to like about that?
Is there ever a show that you don't bring up?
I don't manage somehow to get Proust in. I don't know. It's hard not to mention him from time to time. Proust and Gertrude Stein. You know, it's really so. But they have interviews with each one of these people who have collected these books, and they have some really fascinating, interesting answers to these questions. So one of the questions was, what is the role of literature in your life? Is it as important as art history? And what does it mean for your art practice? And this is the answer. Literature is more important than art history for my art practice. When you are reading, your brain is relaxed, but also going off on tangents caused by what you are reading. Sometimes I realize that I've read 2 pages without taking anything in because I've still been thinking about something from an earlier page. Reading for pleasure is for me a very stimulating aesthetic experience and gives me a lot of ideas. So there are lots of great reading quotes in here. And here's another great quote. Another question was, do you believe that books can have a special kind of power over us? And if so, what is it about books that have this effect? And the answer is, music and books have saved my life. They anchor my being, ground my existence, widen the path, feed and nourish, and the best reveal both the limits and the expanse of our humanity. They are powerful objects. Most books are, however, one-night stands. One rarely goes back for seconds. Of course, then there are those that are returned to again and again because you can't get enough. And anyway, beautiful, beautiful book. If you have any book lover if you happen to be that book lover or you have any book lovers, it's called Unpacking My Library, Artists and Their Books.
Vicki.
You know, I love that quote, Jill, and it's made me think about giving books. And I think it just says that we know you are somebody who's interested in the world. You're somebody who has curiosity, and I want to feed that. And that's just wonderful. And I think we're really lucky on Cape Cod, by the way. There are a lot of places to get books and great help. Sometimes I think people feel at a loss, like, oh, what do I get? What will be special?
It's overwhelming when you walk in. But I think you're right. And we have, like you said, some great bookstores. And when you walk in and you say, hey, I'm looking for a book for X age and interest, I'm always amazed at
oh, we love that.
And there's like a challenge,
yes,
right?
We all do. And there's 8 Cousins in Falmouth. There's Where the Sidewalk Ends in Chatham, Yellow Umbrella, a new bookstore, East End in Provincetown, Parnassus in Yarmouth Port, Isaiah Thomas in Kootenai. Right. We have a wealth of places. And I think sometimes there's just that delight. You don't know always what you're going to find.
Right.
And there are, just strolling through, you'll find, you know, little things. For instance, I brought a few things. This is a little set of Shakespeare. It's like 3 inches tall by 3 inches, a little cube.
Right, how tiny is the writing?
Oh, not too tiny. Some of it's just quotes. Others are love sonnets. I mean, there are little things that you can find. I love this, a little book of mindfulness, 10 minutes a day to less stress, more peace, by Dr. Patricia Collard.
And that's great for somebody who's stressed out, has a stressful job.
And yes, you're telling them, I understand. Yeah. Yes, your life is really busy, and I want you to know I understand that. And here's a very skinny little book that won't take you too much time to read. And yeah, I love the message that comes with the book. This is another one that just catches my eye, and I love this. It's called God. 48 Famous and Fascinating Minds Talk About God. Mm. Beautifully illustrated. Just little quotes. Oh, here, I just flipped open, and this one is, "Mathematics is the language in which God wrote the universe." Galileo Galilei. Mm. So a lovely gift for anyone to pick up, leave out on the coffee table, and not very expensive either.
We have an email from Bruce Epperly who writes, I just heard on WCA that you're featuring Christmas books. I have a new Christmas book, The Work of Christmas, The 12 Days of Christmas with Howard Thurman, the noted African-American mystic, former dean of chapel at Boston University and contemplative activist and mentor to Martin Luther King. So Bruce, that The Work of Christmas, The 12 Days of Christmas with Howard Thurman. We add that to our list. Thanks for letting us know about that. Jill.
Well, I've got another book that is going to be great for book lovers. This is actually the second edition of this book. This came out several years ago. They have now updated it. It's called Novel Destinations. Have you ever seen this, Vicki?
Oh,
this is such a fun book. It's a travel guide to literary landmarks from Jane Austen's Bath to Ernest Hemingway's Key West by Shannon McKinnon Schmidt and Joni Rendon. Not only is it a great book giving you lots of information about places you might want to go, you can practically spend your entire winter deciding which place you're going to go next because there are so many wonderful places. And it's all about literary travel. So it's part of it is author houses and museums. Part of it is places that writers live that you might want to go to. There's a section on literary festivals and tours. And there are literary places to drink, dine, and doze. So you have your choice.
So and combine that with a trip, you've got the perfect gift.
Absolutely. So you have, for example, vicarious thrills for mystery readers. There's a section on murder and mayhem. Mm. So you can take a walking tall tour with Dashiell Hammett, looking at places he went. There's, of course, lots of Sherlock Holmes stuff in that particular section, but not all of it. A lot of it is in England, but there are many local places. So, for example, Omni Parker House, you may or may not know that on the last Saturday of the month, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and other members of the 19th Century Saturday Club convened at the Omni Parker House for festive roundtable discussions.
I did not know that either.
It gets even more interesting because it says the illustrious group hosted a dinner in honor of Shakespeare's 300th birthday and feted Charles Dickens during his 1867-68 American lecture tour. Dickens is said to have given a private reading of A Christmas Carol to Saturday Club members before presenting it to the public.
And so, where he did that.
That's so funny.
And it says the British writer's presence in Boston caused a furor, and zealous fans would try to catch a glimpse of the scribe in his room at the hotel. So, celebrity is nothing new. really fascinating places. Lots about Louisa May Alcott and Concord and her house. And they do have a geographical index in the back. So you can look up the state you want to go to, the country you want to go to, and you can find some bookish place to go.
How fun.
Really a lovely collection. A great present. Again, a great present both to daydream and to learn things you might not know,
that
like
you
Charles
know.
Dickens
That's
in
right.
Boston.
All right. Vicki.
Once again, we have books that work together. I brought a book called 365 Cape Cod Ponds Day by Day by Susan Annarino. Susan went to 365 ponds here on the Cape, and she has put photographs in the book and written about her experiences there. So once again, it's one of those books that can keep on giving, and you're saying, here
what
is a book, and
idea.
I would like to go with you, and let's explore some of the ponds here on Cape Cod.
What's your next book?
I've brought another good book for book lovers called Bookshops, A Reader's History by Jorge Carrion. This is actually translation. Last month we were talking about translation. This actually was translated. And this author collects bookshops. He like goes around the world looking for great bookshops. So it's sort of a meditation on bookshops, past, present, and future. And it's one of the reviews talks about it saying, discussing destination bookshops, including Shakespeare and Company in Paris, the oldest bookshops in the world, and several that claim to be the biggest, Carry On explores the fine lines between pilgrimage destination, touristy gimmick, and decent bookshop. This is the perfect book for those who feel compelled to visit every bookstore they see. And also has some really interesting perspectives on books and bookshops. They also talks a lot about bookshops in films and how they have become this great place to meet people. And here is one little bit from this book. It says, he writes, as an erotic space, every bookshop is the supreme meeting place for booksellers and books, for readers and booksellers, for readers on the hoof. The familiar features shared by bookshops throughout the world, their nature as refuges or bubbles, means that encounters are more likely there than elsewhere. The strange sensation of knowing by the title that that book, published in Arabic or Japanese, is by Tolstoy or Lorca or else by the author's photo or some kind of intuition. That shared experience of a re-encounter in some bookshop in the world. It is scarcely surprising that falling in love in a bookshop is a well-established literary and cinematic theme. I'm wondering, Vicki, if you've seen people fall in love in your bookshop.
Actually, we have had people who have gotten engaged. And
engaged at the bookshop?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think he left The Ring. It's been a while now.
Oh, wow.
But we've had some love stories here at the bookshop.
That's so funny. What's your next book?
Well, I wanted to, we were on a little theme of Cape Cod, and I have three quick ones I'd love to mention. Mm-hmm. One is The Outer Beach, A 1,000-Mile Walk on Cape Cod's Atlantic Shore by Robert Finch. Beautiful, I could say, meditations but about the Cape and 50 years of walking the beaches. Yeah. But they're funny, insightful.
He's so observant. I mean, he sees things that you think, why didn't I notice that?
I know. I love listening to his program, and his writing is just beautiful. And this is a wonderful book, Max and Charlie Help a Hero, mm-hmm. Never Too Young to Give Back, Join Their Adventures on Cape Cod and Nantucket by Kim Rodriguez and K.M. Ginter. It's a children's book. It follows a boy around the Cape with his dog, and it's really about giving a dog to a
veteran,
a veteran who's in need of a service dog.
Yeah.
And the final one I want to mention about Cape Cod, I have to mention this. Lauren Wolk has written the most brilliant book for children called Beyond the Bright Sea. It's set on Penikese and Cuttyhunk Islands. It is gripping. A child is found as an infant in a boat on Cuttyhunk by a man who's a recluse. He takes her in, loves her. Reminds me a little bit of Heidi, for some reason.
But you know, though, I love
this book.
I love that book, too. And I loved her other book, Wolf Hollow.
They're
both great books. And, you know, I know they say young adult, and certainly, you know, but I would argue an adult would love this book, too.
Thank you for saying that, Mindy, because I caught myself when I said children's book. I love her writing. And
she's fabulous.
Yes. Her first book was written as an adult book, and yet marketed as a children's book.
Yeah.
Good for all.
We are talking about holiday books with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Vicki Tickham from Tickham's Bookshop in Sandwich. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking holiday books with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Vicki Tickham from Tickham's Bookshop in Sandwich. Who wants to go next?
Well,
Jill?
I will carry on with the Cape Cod theme because I think that the holidays also make me think of the past, because there's this history that you have with the holiday. And so I thought I'd take a look in our cookbook, Cape Cod cookbook collection, to see what I could find and what people might be doing back in 1930 or whenever this particular book that I have brought along has no date. I don't really know when it was published. It is called The Girls' Friendly Cookbook. And it was has all these ads from Falmouth businesses. So it seems that it was put together by some local girls in Falmouth or young women. In the part of their preface, they say, in becoming authors, we congratulate ourselves on becoming at the same time public benefactors. For this book, which we now offer the public, will be a guide to purchasers, a blessing to housekeepers, and a joy to all who thoughtfully look into it. And it really is quite fascinating to see how the recipes were made at that point, what a recipe consisted of. And one of the great things in here is called snow filling for cake. And this is the recipe for snow filling for cake. Scrape one apple in a large bowl, add 1 cup sugar, pour over the unbeaten whites of 2 eggs, then beat about 20 minutes. At first, it looks brown, but when done, it will be like snow. This may be used for cake or for coffee jelly. And this was a recipe by Mrs. E.F. Lawrence. And a lot of the names in here are clearly old Falmouth names. And one of the extraordinary things as well is the timetable. There are no actual times in any of the recipes. The recipes are all very simple, but at the back, you have the timetable for bread cake, etc. So fruitcake, about 2 hours, if in 2 or 3 pound loaves.
No.
And that's it. That's your how long you cook it. Because, of course, there were probably no electric stoves at the time this was being written. And another one that is called The Cape Cod Cookbook by Suzanne Carey Groover. This came out in 1930. And one of the great things in here is fish chowder, Daniel Webster. It's apparently Daniel Webster's own recipe for fish chowder. And this, in his own words, is Daniel Webster's recipe for fish chowder, suitable, he said, for a large fishing party, which begins, take a cod of 10 pounds, well cleaned, leaving on the skin, and goes on from there. There's also a carrot and banana salad.
Sounds like an odd combo.
I have to agree. It's three bananas, 1/4 cup salted peanuts, and 2 small carrots uncooked. I don't know.
Yeah.
They also miss a winter fruit pie, which 2 cups chopped apples, 2 cups dried currants, 1 large cup sugar, butter, water, vanilla. I mean, sounds perfectly reasonable. What's interesting is all of them assume you know how to make a pie crust because, you know, part of the recipe is always make a pie crust.
Yeah. Oh, simple as pie. Right?
And there is no Christmas. I could not find a Christmas recipe in here, but there is a Thanksgiving Day plum pudding.
I think of plum pudding
going with Christmas, but this is the Thanksgiving version. And they have a whole section, not surprisingly, on cranberries, including something called a cranberry frappe, which involves 1 quart cranberries, 1 cup water, 2 cup sugar, 1/3 cup lemon juice. Wash and select berries. Cook with 1 cup of water until soft. Mash and add sugar and lemon juice. Beat well together. Strain, cool, and freeze. Very nice with game and turkey dinners. So if you are preparing yet another turkey dinner, you can think about having some cranberry frappe. So a very fun, it's like time travel. It really is looking at these. And this again is the Cape Cod Cookbook by Suzanne Carey Groover.
Well, I think you bring up a good point about cookbooks, by the way, Jill. I think they make wonderful gifts at the holidays. And for children, I think there are a lot out this year. To take a look at some of those and see what fits. Maybe add a measuring cup or a whisk or something like that. It makes a wonderful gift. But most importantly, if you can, add your time. And or maybe a personal recipe to that and share that with a child. And I think that'd be a fabulous gift. There are a couple that of cookbooks for adults that that I love this year. And one of them is called America, A Culinary Road Trip Through the 50 States by Gabrielle Langholtz. Beautiful, huge cookbook. And fortunately, it is organized by subject rather than by state.
Good.
Thank goodness, because I don't like them when they're by state and then I can't find the recipe.
Right.
But some extraordinary recipes. And the other one is absolutely beautiful. It's called The Lost Kitchen, Recipes and a Good Life Found in Freedom, Maine by Erin French. This is, I don't know if you've heard about The Lost Kitchen, but it's this tiny restaurant in Freedom, Maine, way up north, way out there in the country. This girl is making just basic food, fresh food, local food, and she's booked for the year.
Oh, my goodness.
People are coming from around the world to try her food, and you can get her cookbook and make it yourself. Mm. And it's fascinating. The story of this amazing, amazing restaurant. It's been featured recently on a television program that I saw either, I don't remember, 60 Minutes or something like that. Highly recommended.
Well, and I think that every mystery reader needs a good mystery for the holiday season. It's a wonderful thing. And one that has just come out recently is called The Usual Santas, a collection of Soho crime Christmas capers. And it is, they have divided them up so you can only read the kind of mystery you want to read. So, for example, there is first the Joy to the World section, which is various acts of kindness at Christmas. Then there's Silent Night, the darkest of holiday noir. So if you want your dark Christmas, and then I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus and Other Holiday Secrets. So you have a great selection. And Soho Press does great work with authors from all over the world. And so in the intro, what they say is that from its beginning in 1986, Soho has set out to publish the best of international crime fiction. So this festive collection is unlike any other in that the writers live in four different continents and have chosen to interpret the seasonal theme in the most colorful and exotic plots imaginable. You will be transported to Sweden, North Korea, Thailand, Ireland, New York City, Utah, Italy, France, Denmark, and England. For readers looking for the traditional Christmas, there is snow, Santa Claus in numbers, and the birth of a child. Those with a taste for noir will find it in the shape of cunningly plotted killing, casual murder, assassination, and dismemberment. And still, there is room for heart-rending suspense and a hot romance between the world's greatest consulting detective and the one he always calls the woman. And for each story, they have a little intro about who the author is. And that actually is great because with this kind of book where you have a whole bunch of different authors, a lot of them you may never heard of before. Mm-hmm. But once you read one of their stories, you might well be interested in the others. It's called The Usual Santas, a collection of Soho crime Christmas capers.
All right, Vicki.
Well, I thought I'd look at some of the interests we try to feed at the holidays. And thinking about the history buffs in your life, this is a new book called The Great Halifax Explosion by John Bacon. This was, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but there was a boat that sailed into Halifax Harbor during World War I. It caused the biggest man-made explosion ever to that time. And I think except for the atomic bomb, there was none that caused such man-made destruction. Horrible. And we here in Massachusetts have close ties to Halifax and the explosion because Massachusetts was one of the first groups that sent aid to Halifax. Mm. And that's why Halifax still sends the Christmas tree that's at Boston Common today. But this is the story of that explosion, what it was like to live through it, its impact. Children were left. There were orphans. There were so many orphans left in this town. So I think almost anyone interested in history would love this book. Yeah. There's also the new Leonardo da Vinci biography by Walter Isaacson, and a book called The Mayflower, that of particular interest around here, The Families, The Voyage, and the Founding of America by Rebecca Fraser. It really focuses on the Winslow family and their experiences, but well-written, well-researched. Also thinking of the music lover in your life, there's a wonderful book called The Greatest Album Covers of All Time.
I love that.
Oh my goodness, by Barry Miles, Grant Scott, Johnny Morgan. You could sit for hours reminiscing about your life and times by just going through these amazing album covers.
Do you know
how
much money some of those are worth? If you still have some of those album covers, I was shocked.
A lot.
It's
cheaper to get the book.
Yeah. No, but if you are going through the book and you go, hey, this is one of the best of all time, I still have this in mint condition, you might want to frame it or sell it. I don't know, right? It's a big market for that.
I think so. Yeah. And for the traveler in your life, there's a wonderful book called Ruthless River.
Oh, yes.
You know about this one. It's called Love and Survival by Raft on Amazon's Relentless Madre de Dios by Holly Fitzgerald. She'll be coming to our bookshop in January, but I didn't bring it for that reason because this book can be read by men, women, my goodness.
It is exciting. We've had her on the show
you
to talk about it. Yes. And,
so,
wow. Yeah,
if you've
that was...
missed it, in brief, it's just a story of a couple that decide to go around the world on a shoestring, crash in the Amazon, and it's their survival story.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
Fascinating.
That they survived.
Fascinating.
All right, Jill.
Well, I promised a Christmas craft with books, and I have a couple actually.
Did you make
and
any
it's
for
really
us, Jill?
Fun. I did not make any for you because it would take too long. But it's really funny because one of the reviewers of this book called A Very Merry Paper Christmas, 25 Creative Ornaments Ooh. And Decorations, wrote, "Book lovers will be happy or cringe to see the print-covered pages of books cut up and used as material in a few of these projects. But in fact, this has become a very popular thing, using old books to create other things. Yes. So, for example, they have something called the Old Book Gift Topper. And the description of this says, not every book is going to be reread. Why not repurpose forgotten books into pretty gift toppers or wreaths? If you don't have old books to use, you can always grab some at garage sales or thrift shops. Try more than one topper at once. You'll find that they come together quickly and are useful to have on hand for gift wrapping year round. And it basically is taking pages of books and turning them into shapes so that they make sort of a beautiful bow on top of the book.
It's scary because you think, take that one I bought at the yard sale and it turns out to be worth a lot of money.
there's something in the text that you don't want to have as part of your book. The other one, and I've actually seen this made before, is a book lover's wreath. And it really is sort of spectacular. This wreath is, as they say, is large, impressive, and almost free to make. What's not to love? Make sure to hang it in a spot that you want to be a focal point because it will easily draw the attention of everyone in the room. It is basically taking, pages of books and turning them into cones and pasting all those cones together and making a wreath. And they are quite beautiful.
That's like they used to do out of the old IBM cards. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, you bring IBM cards.
A long time ago for the younger people in the audience.
They're going, what's that? All right, Vicki.
Well, for the sports lover, and there are many of those, there's a new book out called Count the Rings, Inside Boston's Wicked Awesome Reign as the City of Champions by Bob Halloran. Lots of pictures. It would be great for that teenage boy you don't know what to get for, but they're a sports fan, and the stories of the championship.
Bob Halloran on TV, Bob Halloran, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And for the nature lover, there's a new book called Where the Animals Go, Tracking Wildlife with Technology in 50 Maps and Graphics by James Cheshire and Oliver Uberti. It's fascinating. They've attached trackers on various animals, and they show maps with where the animals went, the patterns of their travels. You could sit and go through this. It's absolutely fascinating. Mm. And finally, for the boat lover, Unsinkable, The History of the Boston Whaler. Who doesn't love Boston Whalers? Yeah. By Matthew Plunkett.
Right. Jill.
And I've brought along a beautiful book, which I believe is still in print, and it's called A Family Christmas, selected and introduced by Caroline Kennedy. Have you seen this book before?
Yes. This was popular a couple years ago.
Yes. Yes, and it is just beautiful. It begins.
She does beautiful books.
She does, and it begins with her letter to Santa from 1962. Dear Santa, I would like a pair of silver skates and one of those horse wagons with lucky dips and Susie Smart and candy fashion dolls and a real pet reindeer and a clock to tell time and a covered wagon and a farm, and you decide anything else. An interesting planes or bumpy thing he can ride in, or some noisy thing, or something he can push or pull for John. Love from Caroline. P.S. I would like a basket for my bicycle. So it's such a sweet beginning. I will say my one complaint about this book is they have a poem by Catherine Leake Bates, which is not my complaint. The poem is Santa's Stocking. They misspell Catherine.
Oh, no.
Catherine Lee Bates has two A's in her name. I mean, anyway, I was surprised the editor missed that. Also, two great pieces from E.B. White,
who we love.
That had been published in The New Yorker. And one of them is a great piece about the tears of joy that come at Christmas and the tear of sadness. Mm. Really beautiful writing.
And we will have a link to all of the books that we talked about today at our website, capeandislands.org. Those we talked about and more, because we didn't get to them all. Vicki Tickham from Tickham's Bookshop in Sandwich and Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library. Thank you both. Happy
holidays. Thank you, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.